Welcome to the program. We go into hour number two. I am Jim Rome. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. If you're on hold, you can stay there. Cell phone number is toll-free nationwide and in Canada, 1-800-636-8686. We start hour number two by going back-to-back with some interviews. And we start by having a conversation with a wide receiver with the Minnesota Vikings. He's entering his third season with the Vikes. He had a career-high 50 receptions, 655 yards, and 7 TDs last season. So a big year. He was the 176th pick overall in 2020 out of Miami. The Vikings open up their season against Green Bay on September 11th. He is hosting a youth football camp on June 11th in Michigan. We'll talk about that. KJ Osborne is my guest. KJ, nice to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing awesome, man. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
Good. Always good to have you. So break it down for me. What's it been like in preparation for year number three? How's your offseason going so far? What's your process been like?
Right. The offseason has been really well, man. I start my offseason in Miami, you know, down with my trainer, Mo Wells. That's who's been doing all my work, you know, ever since I came out coming from the combine. And that's where home is. You know, I went to school there. So just working on my speed, getting my body back right. You know, working with a couple of my trainers, TA and Goldfeet Global and Pete. You know, and tight end you, a couple of guys, things I do on the field, a couple of my goals. Getting ready to kind of go back into OTAs, you know, new offense, new coaches, things like that, just making sure I'm prepared.
Well, I know you have goals, and I know that you post them where you can see them. I'll get to that in a minute. Now, when you and I spoke in October, we had a conversation after that game-winning touchdown in overtime against Carolina. That was one of a number of highlights in a breakout season. When you look back on last season, what kind of thoughts do you have, and how does that lay the foundation for what you're looking to achieve this season?
Right. The kind of thoughts it gives me that, you know, I can play in this league, that I can have success in this league. You know, it's given me a ton of confidence. Knowing that, you know, when I go out and I put the work in and, you know, do the little things right, that, again, you know, I can be successful. And for myself, you know, I feel it as only scratching the surface, man. There's a bunch of things that I want to do to be, a premier receiver in this league, be one of the best, you know, slot receivers or, you know, all-purpose receivers in this league. I mean, to help my team, you know, win a championship. You know, that's our goal here in Minnesota. Like I said, we're super excited having KO here. Obviously, me playing alongside Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, two guys that, you know, I can continue to learn from. And, you know, I can really be that third weapon to take us over the top.
KJ Osborne is joining us. I want to be very clear about this. When we talk about you being one of the elite players at the position, we're talking about this after you made an enormous leap from special teams in year one to being a significant contributor to this offense to talking about where you fit in among the better receivers in the league. How much pride was there for you to take that step and earning the trust of everybody involved?
Right, it was huge because, you know, my rookie year, you know, for myself, I feel like I got on a bumpy start, you know, on special teams. You know, I didn't feel like I really displayed, you know, putting my best foot forward, you know, the type of player that I could be. So, you know, I mean, ever since I walked off the field in Detroit, you know, in week 16 off my rookie year, you know, I kind of, you know, gotten this, I don't know what to call it, this, you know, I want to. Next year is my year. You know, next year, this, I'm not going to have the same feeling walking off the field again, you know, at the last game of the season. So, again, I worked my butt off. You know, when I came back to OTAs, you know, that was, you know, that was like my Super Bowl. You know, I wanted to come back, you know, show you the team and my coaches, my teammates, you know, the front office, Kirk, that I can be trusted, that, you know, I'm somebody that can contribute and help this team to be better. So that was just kind of my goal and my mindset, you know, and a lot for me had to do with confidence. You know, just being comfortable out there and, you know, playing my game. And, you know, I want to continue to do that and continue to build.
KJ Osborne, my guest. I want to be clear about something because you cut out for just one brief second. When you walked off the field after that 16th game, did you just kind of decide? Was there a flip in your mindset? Did you decide in that moment that I don't want to feel like that again and I'm going to change the way I do things? Did you make a conscious decision and then act on that? Is that what happened?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. And, you know, it's funny. I've spoke about this before. I actually took a picture in the hotel, you know, just like a picture in the mirror. And I'm like, you know, next year I'm not going to feel like this. But, you know, obviously as a rookie and I'm coming in, you know, as the season winding down, you know, a lot really can't change. You know, we're deep late in the season, you know, as far as like rotations and things like that. So, you know, I just kind of had to wait for my opportunity. All right, let's, you know, get off, you know, dust yourself off, you know, let's get back in the fight. And that's kind of, you know, what I did walking off that field in week 16. I did not take a lot of time off at all, and I hit it.
I love that. So what did you do with that picture? Did you keep that picture? Do you look at that picture?
Yes, I do. I still do have that picture. You know, the reason I kept it is because, you know, I wanted it to pop up this year. Excuse me, it will be last year. You know, I wanted it to pop up in week 16. It's all right, did I keep my commitment? You know, so when I think I took it on Snapchat because I wanted it to pop up in my memories. You know, the 365 days ago, 360 days ago, you know, this is how I felt. You know, how do I feel a year later? And, you know, I remember when the picture popped up, you know, I'm like, wow, you know, I really put the work in. You know, I'm doing this. So, you know, it was a kind of proud moment for myself. But, you know, I just wanted to keep going. But it was something that I intentionally did, you know, so I can kind of hold myself to it.
I mean, I love this story so much. Like, I'm trying to talk to you about some other things, but just one more thought about that. So when you saw that picture a year later, like, what kind of thoughts did you have? How did that make you feel? How did you look to yourself in that picture compared to how you looked to yourself a year earlier?
Right. It was just confidence. It was just like, man, I knew I could do it. You know, I know I can play in this league. I knew, you know, what I could do. And one of the things for me was like, it's not what everybody else says. It's not what everybody else, you know, is writing about or what's going around. You know, it's between me. You know, obviously the story could be, you know, KJ Osborne, you know, rookie receiver, you know, struggling, you know, yada, yada. You know, so myself, I'm like, you know, why can't the narrative be, why can't the story be next year? You know, this guy was, you know, we didn't even know if we wanted him on the team. Not saying the team saying that, I'm just giving an example. We didn't know if we wanted this guy on the team to, you know, this guy has, you know, 50 catches, 7 touchdowns, whatever, whatever. Of course, to the outsider that you know, may have counted me out, it may think that, but, you know, I feel like I control the narrative. You know, they're going to say, you know, whatever I do on the field, like, I have that control. So I'm like, you know, after I kind of took that picture, like, I went back to the drawing board. You know, what can I do different? How can I come to this thing more prepared, more it is to get that chance on the field and be able to be consistent and be confident and, you know, be able to play. So, like I said, it was a moment for myself that, like, you can't do this. So, you know, like, now I get to this year, I'm like, okay, why can't I make an even bigger leap? Why can't I do the same thing, you know, to accomplish some of the goals that I want to do now?
I love that. My takeaway from that is twofold. One, you v. you. It's not about everybody else and all the other noise. It's you v. you. And then number two, ownership. You just owned it. You owned it. I got to be better. Right. I got to do better. I got to improve. KJ right. Osborne is joining us. You mentioned KC or KO, Kevin O'Connell, your head coach. I had him on the show during the draft. I've got to say I was really, really impressed talking to him and hearing what he had to say. What are your early impressions of him, and how fired up are you to be playing for him?
Oh, man, I can speak for the whole organization, man, the locker room, man. We love him. We love him. You know, he brings a new energy, you know, around the building. You know, obviously a great offense that's coming in. You know, they're coming in from L.A., like I said, we're so excited. We're super excited, you know, for all the things that, you know, we have in store to do on offense. You know, he's a super smart guy, you know, really, really cool and easy to talk to, you know, makes us feel really comfortable. Like, kind of like that family feeling again, almost like we're in college. So we love him around the building, and, you know, we're super excited for him here in Minnesota.
Let's see. You started to touch on this, but if you could again, when you look at the Rams offense and you look at the way they spread the ball around in the passing game, what kind of thoughts do you have? Or better yet, what kind of a role do you anticipate for yourself this year?
Right. When I look at that offense, obviously, you know, they're spreading it out, and, you know, they're doing multiple things. They're going fast. They're going slow. They're controlling the tempo. They have the ability to do a lot of different things, and I think we have that as well. Obviously, you know, us three at receiver, you know, we got Irv coming back from tight end, so I'm super excited about. Obviously, we got Dalvin and Maddie back there. You know, we're obviously led by Kirk. I feel like we have a lot of weapons as well that, you know, a great coach like KO and our OC, Wes Phillips, to be able to, you know, play with and move all around. So I'm super excited, man. As far as the role, I think I'll be more like, you know, kind of all around. I'm a guy, you know, I can play X, I can play Z, I can play F. My main position is F, but I'm a guy that can kind of move all around. I can play inside or outside. You know, rather that be blocking or, you know, bubbles or, you know, going deep across the middle, make third down catches. So it doesn't really matter. I feel like more kind of like a little chess piece is kind of moving around.
I like it. KJ Osborne joining us. Hey, before I ask you about your camp, I need to ask you about your dog, a.k.a. at Fat Larry. Last time you and I talked about your dog, Larry, a.k.a. at Fat Larry on Instagram, he was trying to bite your ankles during our conversation. I know that he recently graduated from doggy school. How did he do in class?
Oh man, he did amazing. He did amazing. You know, for some reason, Larry is always, he always steals the show wherever we go, whether that be in class or we walk into the airport. You know, Larry always gets the attention. So he did an excellent job. I was really proud of him. Last couple classes, he got a little bit of senioritis. You know, trying to lay down, had to get him going a little bit. But I'm really proud of him. He's doing a great job. He did a great job.
He got senioritis. KJ Osborne joining us. All right, so after the season was over, you went back to your high school in Ypsilanti, Michigan. You spoke to the kids there. How did it feel to be back there as a role model, and what was your message to them?
Man, it was a dream come true, man. It was a dream come true. Myself and Tyler Mabry, who I'll touch on later, obviously, about the camp. Not many people know if they do or not. You know, me and Tyler have been best friends since we were sixth grade. Went to middle school together, high school at Lincoln High School, high school at IMG together down in Bradenton, Florida. Went to Buffalo together. And when I transferred to Miami, he went to Maryland. But that has always been our goal since we were, you know, those kids that I was speaking to. You know, we want to make it to the NFL. We want to come back and pour into our community because, you know, from Ypsilanti, Michigan, we don't really have guys that, you know, are going to the NFL. You know, and then are coming back and, you know, doing a lot of things. You know, our first goal was just to go D1. And that was our goal. So, man, again, that was a dream come true, man. Going back and speaking to those kids, you know, pouring into them. And I was just kind of telling them about, you know, hard work and what hard work does for you. I feel like that's kind of my story, man. I came out of high school. And I think I was like a 2-star recruit. I really only had the University at Buffalo as my only offer. You know, I kind of just grinded my way up, you know, to try to be the player that I was. Obviously, I went to Miami, and you know, I was able to have success there in the fifth round pick, and then kind of how my rookie year went, and then going to year two, having some success. That's just kind of how my approach has been, and my story is just hard work and grit and fight. You know, it's never really been, you know, just a simple, you know, easy way. So that's what I was just kind of talking to the kids about, just what hard work can do. You know, focus. You know, being in our community, things like that. So again, man, that was a dream come true, and I was really happy that I was able to do that, and I'm looking forward to doing more.
Great story, great testimonial. All right, KJ, what about the camp itself? It's June 11th. Why is this something that you wanted to do? And if kids want to come, it's free. If kids want to come, how do they go about doing so?
Right. So it was something that I wanted to do again, man, because we didn't have that. You know, when I was growing up, you know, and it's not like it's just like not in my hometown. It's just not, you know, common that, you know, you have NFL players obviously being in the position that we are, that I'm blessed to be in, to come back and be able to pour into you. So I'm like, well, you know, what a tremendous opportunity for myself and Tyler to go back, you know, pour into these kids. You know, these kids need love, man. These kids need love these days, and, you know, to go out there and have fun. You know, also, you know, we want to teach them, you know, teach them how to compete a little bit, you know, teach them things that, you know, they may not have learned, you know, and who wouldn't want to learn from NFL players? You know, I know I would have when I was in sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade. So I think that it was a tremendous opportunity for us. Again, something that we've wanted to do since we were in sixth grade. So we're really happy that we're able to fulfill it. The camp is actually sold out. It's sold out pretty fast. But this is our first one. It was in the link in my bio. But actually, we do have a couple other shirts available. So for kids that are able to walk up, they'll be able to do so. And again, we wanted to make it free, man. It's not about the money. It's about pouring back. Like I said, these kids need love, especially these days. While we're here, like, I want my prayers go out to the families in Texas that had that tragic thing happen, man. There's so much stuff going on in our world today, man. These kids, they just need love and to have fun and to show them that people love them and care on them, man. So that's why it was free. That's why we get a game.
Good for you.
We can't do again more in the future.
I love that. Good for you. KJ Osborne, my guest. That youth football camp is June 11th. It's already sold out. It's free. He is a wide receiver with the Vikings, entering his third season there, coming off a career-high year where he had 50 receptions and huge expectations for the coming season. KJ, great to have you back. Thank you so much. I know you and I will do it again soon. I appreciate you.
Of course, man. Thanks for having me.
You got it. He made it better. KJ Osborne. I'm always looking for people who make it better. Great story. Story of grit. Like, there is no straight line. No straight line from A to B, or no straight line from here to success. He said it himself. He was a 2-star player coming out of high school. And the University of Buffalo was his real only opportunity. Ended up in Miami and mid-round draft pick and just kept grinding. He said even after his first year when he played special teams, when it was kind of rocky, he took that picture of himself and said, I've got to do better. I want to remember. That's how I felt. That's how I felt. That's where I was. That was my mindset. and 1 year from now, I want to take another picture, and I want to see what I look like and what I feel like. That is such a good story. All right, when we come back, we'll talk some baseball. L.A. Angels outfielder Brandon Marsh joins me next. Beef segment, top of hour number three. Today's sponsor is Athletic Greens. With one delicious scoop of AG1 by Athletic Greens, you are consuming 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens. I've been taking my AG1 every single morning now for several months, and I love it. One of the reasons I like it so much is I no longer feel that afternoon energy slump, and I love how it tastes. I come in, I mix my AG1 with some cold water in my shaker bottle, I'm off and running. It's part of my daily routine. You should all have a morning routine. That's part of mine. I also love the fact that I don't have to take a bunch of different vitamin pills anymore. It costs less than $3 a day. It contains less than 1 gram of sugar. It has no GMOs and no nasty chemicals. Plus, it's approved by a number of athletes that I know and I talk to. It's also approved by many trusted health experts that I know and I talk to. Athletic Greens is a climate neutral certified company. That's a good thing. And they are going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first subscription purchase. All you have to do is go to athleticgreens.com/Rome. Try it. I do it every single morning and feel so much better for it. athleticgreens.com/ROME. Do it to try your AG1 today.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. My thanks to KJ Osborne. We are efforting Brandon Marsh to talk some Angels baseball. What's Your Beef is coming up at the top of the hour. We spent the first hour talking about yesterday's tragedy in Texas. Well, I had this moment. I just want to look at some more reaction really quickly. Dear Jim, the first hour was your best first hour ever, and the subject needed to be addressed. Some things need to take precedent over games and entertainment. As a former public school teacher for 37 years, events like yesterday are our worst nightmare. Keep up the good work. Jim and Hastings. Thanks, Jim. Bruno in the Bay writes, firearm owner here who's smart enough to understand we need immediate gun reform. Background checks, gun show loopholes, age restrictions, magazine capacity restrictions, agencies in contact with health practitioners. Nothing should be off the damn table. I appreciate that response a lot. Mr. Rome, I'm definitely not here to bash you for your opening. In fact, I applaud you on your boldness. What I'm here to say is, no fault to you, is that I'm having a difficult time focusing on sports talk. While I am a loyal listener, I have to step away for today. I will be back tomorrow, as usual. Have a great show, my friend. Daryl S. in the flatlands of the Texas Panhandle. Yeah, I get that, Daryl. Let me tell you something, my man. Part of me didn't want to do the show today. Part of me also wanted to step away from sports today. Part of me also feels like, no, check that. All of me feels like there are much more important things than sports. Oh, I understand. No offense taken. I understand completely. Rob Murphy tweets, Jim's Open was a must listen. I hope the millions of listeners take it to heart and speak out. Being from Canada, as your neighbor, it breaks my heart to watch this happen over and over. Thanks, Jim. Thanks, Rob. I appreciate that very much. As promised, we are joined right now by an outfielder for the Los Angeles Angels. He had a big game last night. He went 3-for-4. He had a run scored in that win over Texas. On the season, he's hitting .282, 4 home runs, 24 runs knocked in. Second-round pick overall, or a second-round draft pick, I should say, in 2016 out of Buford High School. The Angels are a game out of first in the AL West. And they're at home tonight against Texas once again. Brandon Marsh is my guest. Brandon, really nice to have you on. How are you?
Doing great. How about yourself?
Good, good. So a few things I want to talk to you about, but I want to start with that home run that you brought back in the fourth inning last night. It seemed like you had that ball tracked all the way. Can you take me through it? What did you see? And then how good did it feel to bring that one back?
It was cool. I had a bunch of time to find the wall and to get to my spot so I can leap. He hit it pretty high, like 40 plus degree launch angle. So I had a bunch of time to get under and find my spot and shoot my shot. So yeah, it was a fun time.
Brandon Marsh, my guest. Let me ask you this: you had a big day at the plate too. You went 3-for-4. And you had a run scored. So what's more satisfying to you, a big day at the plate or a home run robbing catch?
I'd definitely say, for me, defense. I love some good defense. So I would definitely say that's more fun for me.
All right, I get that. Now, I'm not sure what's better, the catch or the way your hair and your beard were flowing on that play, dude. I've talked to a lot of guys over the years about this who have either long hair or gray beards. They always tell me there is power in the follicles. There's power in the hair. So how much power is there then in a 1-2 combo of the long hair and the beard? Because you don't come across that very often.
You know what, man? I don't know, but I hope there's a lot of special power in it.
Brandon Marsh, there's got to be, right? Like you said, for instance, you used to have a Bieber flip, but when it comes to the facial hair, you were a late bloomer, and that your facial hair was not connecting back in the day. When did you finally get that beard to work like that? And then how much pride is there in that?
I would say probably back in late 2019, 2020, it started to come together a little bit. And let's say late 2020, early 2021, it started to blossom a bit. And I've been rocking with it since. It's very special to me. It's kind of who I am now, and I'm rocking with it as long as I can.
Oh, heck yes. It's great. So last night, Brandon Marsh, my guest, last night Noah Syndergaard retired the first 13 Rangers that he faced. He went 8 strong innings. He allowed just one run. I'm curious, when he's dealing like that, how much energy and juice does that give everybody else on the team?
It brings everyone else confidence, you know, just to go to play good behind them and just to try to get him some run support. So the bats, they were working last night. Noah, he was lights out on the bump. Loop and Iggy came in, shut it down. It was all around just a good team win, man. It was fun to be a part of that game last night.
You know, Brandon, I'm not that far from you or the stadium. In fact, I was at the stadium a few nights back, and I grew up in Southern California. I've spent my entire life here, so I understand what it means. I understand how hungry this fan base is to get back to the postseason. I also understand that it's a long, long, long year, and it's kind of silly to talk postseason in May, but does this feel like a team that has something special in it?
I would definitely say so. Like you said, not looking too far ahead. We're only a quarter of the way through the season, but you'd have to be silly if people weren't thinking about going to the postseason. That's the goal for everyone, and we have a very special, talented group, and we just got to keep this train rolling and keep this momentum and keep feeding off each other, and we should be right where we want to be when the time comes.
We're talking to Brandon Marsh. So much talent in that clubhouse. Like, you came into a clubhouse with Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani. You've said that what Ohtani does is like the most amazing thing you've ever seen with your own eyes. I mean, you're a really gifted athlete. You were a second-round draft pick. You were a highly touted prospect, and you're playing at a really high level. So what do you think when you see Ohtani throw triple digits and then have that amazing power that he has at the plate?
Yeah, People ask me, you know, all the time just about Shohei, and I tell them every time it never gets old. If anything, there's something new every time he's out there on the bump or he's up there at the plate. So he's special, man. He's a one of a kind and just a incredible dude. You know, we're blessed to have him on our side.
So the story goes that when you were in AAA, you were asleep and you got the call from your manager that you were getting promoted to the majors. What do you remember about that moment and knowing that you were going to make your major league debut?
It was uh, it was weird because I it was early in the morning when I got a call from our manager in Salt Lake, and I thought I was dreaming. So it's it was awesome. You know, I called my mom, and then it kind of like sunk in. I was like, dang, this is happening. You know, it felt awesome, and you know, we've just been riding with it ever since, and we just got to keep it going.
Hey, Brandon, I can't even imagine. Like, I did this for so long. And then I had a couple of sons, and then they both played baseball. And, you know, just normal high school baseball players, right? But they go through the track, and they play travel ball. And then it's like, I don't know what it is, but sitting in the stands and watching my son, who's now a junior in high school, pitch is like the most nerve-wracking thing in the world. I can't even imagine what it must have been like for your mom, you know, for your family, for you yourself. Well, when you finally made that major league debut, did it feel like baseball is baseball, I've got a process? Or what was that day like for you?
That day against the Mariners, that the game was the speed of the game felt super, super fast. And I don't think I took the breath and tried to slow it down. I think I tried to go fast with it. And it was a super, super cool day. But it was eye opening for sure. You know, just knowing these guys are super legit up here. And in order for me to stay here, I got to get with the program. So it was awesome. You know, being in the locker room with you know, all those guys that you mentioned earlier, and One of the best days of my life, and you know, super grateful for it.
That's cool. Brandon Marsh, my guest for another moment or so. Is that a matter of, and it's like the hardest thing, right? Simple but not easy. This whole notion of try easier. Is that kind of what that is? Like, try easier?
Yeah, just try to slow it down a little bit so it doesn't get too fast for you.
Let me ask you this finally. You talk about being a great athlete. You come from a family of athletes. Your sister, Erin, won the ACC championship in the heptathlon. What was it like to grow up in such an athletic and competitive family?
I thought it was super fun. You know, always competing against my sister. My sister, she'd show up whenever I was getting picked up for you know, little league football practice, and she'd come and race all the guys. So and she'd beat over half of us. So she's awesome, man. You know, my mom, you know, she loves playing some tennis. So, I used to grow up and play some tennis with her and, you know, beat her most of the time and get her mad. And we'd have some fun with that. But, you know, it's all fun. You know, we all compete with each other, even with the littlest things that when you wouldn't expect it. So, super competitive family, and I think that helped plays in to all of our lives today.
You know, we talk about this all the time, but you obviously played a lot of different sports growing up. Is that helping you right now? Or, you know, because I see this also, the culture of baseball, especially here in Orange County, like, you know, specialize. In Georgia, you obviously were playing other sports. Did that help make you a better baseball player?
I wouldn't say it makes me a better baseball player. I would say maybe on like the mental side, or the you know, the preparation, or just the way you go about the day, just the attitude. You know, I think I take a little football attitude. I bring a little football attitude into the clubhouse, and I think that helps. That helps gets me going, you know, before a 6:30 game, and just ready for that. The football definitely helped. I would say so. Maybe not physically, it tore me down a bit, but mentally, it got me locked in, ready for these games, man.
Mindset. The Angel is playing really good baseball. They're a game out of first in the AL West. A lot of baseball still to be played. But it's exciting to have them there and talking about it. Their outfielder, Brandon Marsh, our guest. Brandon, great to have you on. Appreciate you. Appreciate the conversation. And great to talk some Angels baseball. Thanks so much.
No, thank you. Appreciate you guys having me, man.
That was fun. Good job. Brandon Marsh joining us. He's got an amazing look. I mean, really talented player. Let's not lose track of that. But the kind of look that is so cool that Dodger Jano, the first time she saw Brandon Marsh and did not know who it was, she's like, wow, look at that guy. And I'm like, yeah, that guy's a really good player too. Really good player. You know what? I like talking Angel baseball. We have not done a lot of that of late, so that's fun to do. All right, we'll take a break right now. The way the show sets up, still to come, the beef segment. And we, look, today's a hard day to do anything other than what we did in hour number one. The beef segment does not feel as great, but we can give that a shot. We'll see how that goes. That is scheduled for 11 o'clock, top of the hour, so I still plan on doing that. Ken Danico is an NHL Network analyst. We'll have him at 11:40. I still want to get your ATP in here somewhere between now and the end of the program. Also, one more reminder, the Jim Rome podcast is going to drop after the show today. It's a really good episode. Somebody, and I love this, when you've done this, as long as I've done this, rare is the opportunity to talk to somebody you haven't talked to before who's been in it as long as you have. My guest today is the same age I am. Famous, iconic, legendary. We had never spoken before yesterday. Phil Hellmuth. Poker icon. Great conversation. Like a bigger than life personality. Loved it. So you want to make sure you look for that. We'll push that out after the program today. Right now, here is your sports update. Here's Rich Ackerman.
This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. All right, so once again, it sets up like this. Top of the hour, the beef segment. So, you know, today is not an easy day. Today's a challenging day, and nothing that we normally do seems nearly as important. But you can beef, and let's see how it goes. If you have a beef and you want to share that beef with me, you can, about anything at all. We can still do the beef segment the way we normally do the beef segment, and we'll do that at the top of hour number three. So if you have a beef, call with your beef, 1-800-636-8686. If you want to hit me up on social media with a beef, hit me at Jim Rome. If you want to email me a beef, do that. The beef segment will come off as scheduled in about 15 minutes from right now. Rome, R-O-M-E at haveatake.com. And we'll talk some hockey next hour. Ken Danico is an NHL Network analyst and a former player. He joins us at 11:40. I do want your ATP still. Some reaction to what happened yesterday and the fact that we're still talking about that. This guy's, okay, and somebody, I want to go back to something somebody said earlier, last segment. Somebody said as part of the reaction, hey, forgive me, I'm not here to bash you for your open. In fact, if anything, I'll see you tomorrow. I really don't want to do this today. And I said, I understand that completely. If you don't want to do it tomorrow, I understand that completely. Believe me, when I woke up this morning, I didn't much want to do it either. So I do understand. Jim, this morning in the office, I've had water cooler conversations about mushroom hunting, softball, the weather, and Memorial Day weekend plans. Absolutely no discussion of yesterday's school shooting. What an indictment of me personally and society at large, that the mass shooting of innocent kids doesn't automatically register as conversation worthy. Appreciate you and your opening for getting me back in the right mindset of mixed sadness and outrage. Scott in Madison. James in Portland is in. Jimmy, thanks for letting us have your platform to not only listen to your opinions beyond sports, but you allow all of us to share our opinions about what matters more than sports, life. I want to just take the time to thank all the teachers for all that you do. As a parent of three kiddos below the age of 15, I would never have thought that being a teacher in the world we live in today was so dangerous because anybody can buy a gun. James in Portland. Susie from Wisco is in. Thank you, Jim, for using your platform so responsibly. Apathy has never been your brand. Thank you, Susie. T. Snake Henderson tweets, I learned of Sandy Hook while listening to your show, driving around Barber Boulevard and PDX, where Under Armour now stands. You paused, sighed, and prepared to deliver the horrible news. Kids. I parked and I sat in disbelief And here we are again, 10 years later. Right. Here we are again. Nothing's changed. And nothing's going to change until we all change. Romy, the list of sports talk show hosts who easily slide into topics like yesterday's horror with passion and eloquence like you did today is short. It's you, keeping you, man, skipping New Orleans. Hey, listen, there was nothing easy about that. There's nothing easy about any of this. And again, I did not want to do that. And I know that a lot of you come here to get away from that, but there are things that are more important than sports. And sports has provided me with the life I have. It's provided me with an opportunity to support my family. I'm really, really grateful. I have amazing gratitude for all that. But there are more important things. And to me, it's, you know, say what you want about this show. Say what you want about me. And say what you want about the show. The show is a lot of things, but it's not an ignorant show. And it's not a dumb show. So I felt the need. I hated it. I hated that I had to start the show again the way that I did. But it had to be done. Not because it's the job, but because it had to be done. How personally, there's no way I could sit back and watch that in horror again and not say anything. Let's go to San Antonio. Raul, nice to have you on the show, Raul. How are you?
Hi, Jim. How are you doing today, man?
Good. You?
I'm a little bit shaken. Yesterday, a really good friend of mine, he had messaged a bunch of us that, his niece was shot and, he didn't know what had happened to her. I'm sorry, man.
No, I know.
It wasn't until about 2 o'clock this morning that it was announced that she was one of the ones that passed away. And I messaged him, and he talked to me a little bit, and I just gave my condolences. But I don't know what to say to this man. It is his niece, but man, his family is like his nieces and nephews are his sons and daughters. And I could not tell this man anything positive. I couldn't say she's in a better place because the fact is that they don't belong to be in the place where they're at right now. I can't tell them anything. And it pains me because this friend was one that when my father passed away a few years ago was there for me and my family and did a lot for us. And I don't know what to tell this man. I feel for him because everywhere he goes right now, the murder of his niece is everywhere. He can't turn on a TV. He can't zone out and go on social media because it's all there. And it's just devastating to know that there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can say or feel. I want to say thank you so much because the first half of your show was so great. Like, I did turn into this show because I knew you would say something that I just couldn't think of at the moment. And right now, it's just, I'm just so devastated about what's going on.
Yeah, Raul, I mean, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. I'm so sorry for all the families. I'm so sorry that we're in this place again. I appreciate that phone call. And this is what I mean about the Jungle family. I mean, it's just, it's gut-wrenching. It's gut-wrenching. And when you think, Rome, that we're not coming here for this, I get that. And if you don't want to be here for that, and next hour we'll talk about some other things, I understand. I understand. If you need to take a walk away from this, I understand. However, if you're a part of this family and you need to turn within and you want to be with the family, whatever this dysfunctional Jungle family is, we're here for that too. Raul, so I really appreciate you and how difficult that call had to have been to make. But to hear it in his voice, that somebody who knows somebody who lost somebody, a child, a fourth grader, and him saying that this is a person that when we had a loss in our family, he meant so much to all of us and did so much for all of us, and I want to be there for him, but I have no idea what to say to him. What would anybody say to anybody in that situation? I certainly don't have the answer. I don't know. But this is why I want to make sure that if you wanted to talk about it, and especially today, that you could, and you were welcome to do so. And my feeling is, I don't have the answers. I do not have the answers. I just think we need to do something. We need to do more. More than say, it happened. Because we're letting it happen. Because we're not doing anything. Thoughts and prayers are not making the situation better. It's not addressing the problem. As I've mentioned a couple of times, if thoughts and prayers were enough, we would have the safest schools and churches and grocery stores in the world. All right, so when we come back, Rel, I am really, really sorry. And I appreciate you making the phone call, at least in the sense that if you want to talk to somebody, you could talk to your jungle family. And I know that was a really difficult call to make. And, you know, frankly, a very difficult call to hear, but the whole thing is so hard. And what we'll do next hour is we'll have a beef segment and we'll see how that goes. You know, if you want to beef about something other than what we're talking about, you can. You can. Absolutely, you can. If that'll help, you can. And we'll talk some hockey with Ken Danico also next hour. I've got an ATP coming up next hour. And understand, it's a really difficult day.